KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, partly cloudy skies, 62 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And the news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. Well, a trial in the case of a former Council Bluffs pediatrician facing a charge of second-degree sexual abuse has once again been delayed. The Daily Nonpareil reports the attorney for 69-year-old Dennis Seaborn Jones has filed a motion to delay the trial. Jones, who is alleged to have sexually abused a 5-year-old girl, agreed to waive his right to a jury trial. A trial scheduling conference in his case is set for 3 p.m. on June the 24th at the Pottawatomie County Courthouse. The charge is a Class B felony, which carries a maximum sentence of 50 years in prison. It's the fourth time Jones' trial has been rescheduled since he was arrested in May of 2013. This past May, Jones pleaded guilty to one count of possession of child pornography as part of a deal with federal prosecutors. As part of a search related to the sexual abuse case, investigators found a large amount of child pornography on computers and hard drives on Jones's computers. Jones is currently in federal custody awaiting sentencing in the pornography case and awaiting trial in the sexual abuse case. News time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Planned Parenthood of the Heartland is closing two small clinics in southwest Iowa. The Des Moines Register reports that the closures in Red Oak and Creston are among at least 11 satellite clinics the group has closed in recent years. The group uses a video conferencing system to dispense abortion pills to women in outlying clinics. Planned Parenthood said the Red Oak and Creston clinics were open only by appointment and are being closed because of a shifting need for services. Patients will be referred to remaining clinics, including 7 that provide the telemedicine abortions and 2 that also provide surgical abortions. Planned Parenthood spokeswoman Angie Remington said the closures were not sparked by abortion opponents' objections to those clinics. Republicans will choose a candidate for the 3rd Congressional District at a nominating convention set for June the 21st in Creston. Iowa Republican Party Chairman Danny Carroll announced on Wednesday that the 513 delegates will gather at the Creston High School to select a nominee. The task is required because none of the 6 people who sought the GOP nomination topped the 35% threshold for votes required by state law. State Senator Brad Zahn received the most votes, but only 25% of all votes cast. The nominee will face Democrat Stacey Apple, who was unopposed in the Democratic primary. The 3rd District covers much of southwest Iowa, stretching from Des Moines to Council Bluffs. Joni Ernst, a mother from a farm country and Iraq war veteran who was little known a few months ago, surprisingly won Iowa's Republican Senate primary going away, and she now appears well-positioned to compete for a seat that could help to determine whether the GOP wins control of Congress. The 43-year-old state lawmaker projected a just folks type of personality, backed by a blitz of clever TV advertising, to sweep the 5-candidate GOP race and become one of the unexpected stars of the primary season. She now faces a tougher test against a 4-term Democratic congressman, Bruce Braley, who has more than $2.3 million in the bank compared to her $100,000, and a slight edge in the polls. The winner will succeed Democrat Tom Harkin, who is retiring after 5 terms. Elsewhere in the news, the Atlantic Police Department said yesterday a Cass County woman was arrested Tuesday. 18-year-old Bailey Powers of Griswold was arrested in Atlantic on a Cass County warrant for a probation violation. Powers was booked into the Cass County Jail and held pending an appearance before the magistrate. It probably wasn't a ninja who took it. Authorities in Red Oak are investigating the theft of a samurai sword. The Red Oak Police Department says they were notified Tuesday afternoon about the theft of an antique sword from the Montgomery County Historical Society in Red Oak. Officials say sometime between May the 20th and June the 3rd, someone took the World War II Japanese officer's samurai sword with a sheath from the museum. The sword was described as being military green with aluminum fittings, and the blade is etched with cherry blossoms. It's in excellent condition and valued at $2,000. If you have any information on the location of that sword or someone that may have had it recently, you're asked to contact the Red Oak Police Department at 712-623-6500 or Montgomery County Crime Stoppers at 800-432-1001. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers said yesterday that two men were arrested Tuesday afternoon in connection with a burglary and theft. Officers arrested 32-year-old Joshua J. Martin of Clarinda for a second-degree burglary of an occupied structure and theft in the second degree for exercising control over stolen property. Also arrested was 55-year-old Jeff Dale Veach of Clarinda for being an accessory after the fact. Martin and Veach were arrested at the Parkview apartment complex. Both men were transported to the Page County Jail and held on $15,000 bond each. A decision with regard to the filing of formal charges was under review by the Page County attorney. An accident Tuesday afternoon in Clarinda caused $6,000 in damage, but no one was injured. The Clarinda PD said a 2007 International tractor driven by 49-year-old Daniel Dean Powers of Omaha was traveling east on Chestnut Street at around 3:15 p.m. Tuesday. When Powers went to turn north on 11th Street, he didn't see some low-hanging power lines. The top of the semi snagged those power lines, causing them to fall and topple a light pole. The mishap also pulled two electrical services from two separate houses. There were no citations issued. Well, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening acted on several matters, including a request to approve the partial closing of 6th Street between Chestnut Street West to an alley between Chestnut and Poplar for the purpose of the Produce in the Park events. Produce in the Park is scheduled to take place from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays from June 12th through October 30th. Dr. Keith Leonard, who explained what the event is about, presented the request to the council on behalf of the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce.
Some of the people who want to have produce there prefer not to carry it up into the park. Just easier to pull your car in, put out your table, etc. We don't know how much of this we're going to need, or if we need any of it, or if we need more. If we need more, if we need it closed all the way over to Poplar, we'll come back to you for that. But we felt that if we closed from Chestnut to just before the alley, that didn't restrict anybody's flow. It is on a Thursday night, so hopefully the downtown would be busier. It is going to be every Thursday night.
He said also it may not go as late as requested, depending on how the weather affects the growing of local crops. The council approved the request for the temporary street closure during the event. Mayor Dave Jones also asked if the chamber still planned to hold the Music in the Park events this summer and early fall, and Dr. Leonard said there will be no organized or sponsored events, but independent musicians are welcome to perform during in the Atlantic City Park on some Thursdays.
The Music in the Park is probably going to be there on an individual basis, some Thursdays more than others.
Okay.
More individual performances, nothing on a stage.
Okay.
More like sitting around, someone singing their favorite song on a guitar.
Okay.
In other business, the council approved the third reading and adoption of an ordinance pertaining to the city's floodplain regulations as requested by the state of Iowa and required by FEMA. They also held a public hearing on and the first reading of an ordinance pertaining to the height of structures, objects, and natural vegetation, as well as land uses of property in the vicinity of the Atlantic Municipal Airport. The Cass County Board of Supervisors on Wednesday approved the awarding of a contract to TBB&M LLC in Greenfield for reconstruction of the lower floor of the building at 707 Poplar Street. The portion of the building will be used as the new 911 communications center. The board held off on awarding the contract during their meeting last week because there was an insufficient breakdown of the costs. Cass County 911 Director Rob Coppert presented a revised listing of the cost through the project's architects, but it still wasn't to the supervisors' satisfaction. Supervisor Chuck Reakin says he understands why the contractor wouldn't want to provide too much in the line of specifics.
The contractor doesn't want to give out any more information than he has to in case we don't accept this bid.
That's exactly true.
What swayed the board to accept the $365,000 bid was a reduction in the amount the county will have to pay. Coppert said he had $73,353 worth of good news where that's concerned.
We're allowed to pay the entire HVAC cost with 911 surcharge money. Now, granted, we're still paying for it, but at least it's not coming out of property tax-based dollars. It's coming out of 911 surcharge-based dollars. So you can write off the $41,800 completely. And with the generator, since it's required by state law that we have a generator in a 911 center, but because the generator is going to be providing power to the whole building, we have to prorate what our usage of that would be. And looking at our preliminary cost estimates for our electrical usage with the equipment that we're planning on putting in there, or minus what the rest of the building takes, we can prorate about 75% of that cost, or $33,563 can be paid for out of 911 surcharge dollars.
That leaves the county to pay $11,187 on the generator portion for a total bill to the county amounting to $280,647. $75,353 will be paid through the 911 surcharges, as Coppert mentioned. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits is up slightly, but the claims are still near their lowest levels in years. The government says weekly applications rose by 8,000 last week, but the four-week average fell to its lowest level since June of 2007. It's a positive sign ahead of tomorrow's jobs reports. Economists expect that 220,000 jobs were added last month. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcements, Evelyn Northrup, age 95, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Audubon County Hospital. Services for Evelyn Northrup will be this morning at 10:30 at the Hemlin Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Jesse Leeper, age 97, of Greenfield, died Saturday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Jesse Leeper will be today at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Kira Christensen, age 88, of Kimbleton, died Sunday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Kira Christensen will be today at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Nancy Young, age 77, of Oakland, died May the 7th. A memorial service for Nancy Young will be today at 11 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Norma Shields, age 91, of Messina, died Sunday at the Corning Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Norma Shields will be today at 2 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Julie Hansen, age 59, of Davenport and formerly of Elkhorn, died May the 29th. A celebration of life service for Julie Hansen will be this afternoon at 2:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Cemetery. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Mary Brooks, age 83, of Harlan, died Sunday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Mary Brooks will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Wallace Patti, age 82, of Shelby, died Tuesday at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Wallace Patti will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And Max Hummel, age 96, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Oakland, died Saturday in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Max Hummel will be held Monday at 11 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church with the Reconvene Funeral Home of Oakland in charge of arrangements. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.